with Rick and Debbie and his son Joe this Saturday afternoon around 2 o'clock, 9th of December, 72. Channel 2 right, and beginning the visit, the short visit with Aaron, with Joe, with Rick and Debbie this Saturday afternoon, 9th of December, 72. Channel 2 right, and beginning the visit with Aaron, this short visit this Saturday afternoon around 2 o'clock, 9th of December, 72.
I was 1292 today, and that's 2276 before.
Well,
hey there, babe.
He's right here.
How are you? I'm just in here fixing to eat your dinner.
Okay.
Almost done.
Why don't you?
How's it going?
He got some motor grease from you and didn't pay for it. Down at your place there. 10 5 pounds?
You know what it was he got? I don't even know what it was, yeah.
You know, chassis grease. Now, here it comes. I'll get him. Rick?
No, that's Joe there.
That Joe?
Yeah, that's Joe helping me.
Joe, holler at Rick down there. Holler at Rick down there. Yeah,
come up here. We'd have to make it out in two different checks anyway.
You'll have to make it out in two different checks.
Yeah,
anyway.
Something.
Uh-huh.
You'll have to make it out in two different checks.
I see.
I drove to stop by and get a little bit, and he got it and charged it, see? Don't charge things like that. It's too much trouble, everybody.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's ever paid.
Let me see if they're still in the office. If they are, well, I'll get the amount and everything on. I'll call
right
here. All right.
He's going to come back the first week and put some in there.
He's out.
In the trailer thing. So he can.
Yeah, they're already closed down
sure.
there.
This Rick, he's one that done it. He got one to stop down there to get a little funny, and he just charged it.
Do you remember how much the bill was? I don't.
It was 5 pounds of that chassis grease.
That's right.
How much that cost?
5 pounds, let's see, that's $1.90, and then you'd have an 8 cent tax on $1.98 then, I guess. All right. Well, if you want to make out a check into $1.98, but make it out now to Central Florida Oil. In other words, don't make it to me, make it Central Florida Oil. And
now, these people over here are nice, Aaron.
Yeah, they're real nice people.
We're lucky, aren't we?
Yeah. They sure are, though. They're real nice people. I think the world of them. And that boy's wife just as nice as she can be.
You don't have trouble with them, would you?
No. No, they're real nice.
Well, now, where are you living now?
Still in Ocala.
Who's down here?
The Hancock boy and his wife got it rented, living in it. Yeah.
It's handier living in North Carolina.
Well, it is now, the way I'm working down there and everything, see.
Well, now, let me tell you, the first thing I said to him, you know, that's all the only advice I ever gave him. I said, don't put anything on the damn books. Just throw them away. Don't ever get any books.
That's the best advice they could have.
Well, they're not taking it.
No, they never do.
Well, they'll find out.
Yeah. I was in there one day, and I couldn't help but feel a little sorry for him, that LC working for him. And when I pulled up, I saw George pulling away from the pump. Of course, I didn't know LC was working there. So I said to her, I said, you're not charging nothing to George, are you? She said, yeah. I said, LC says he's paid goods, and LC's working here for me. I said, yeah, that's his daddy. And I said, he'll beat you out of every nickel of it. You mark it down that you done put that out, and you won't get it. You might as well mark it up on the wall or something. And she said, well, LC wouldn't do me that way. I said, you know good and well, he's not going to take his own. Daddy ain't going to pay it. And I said, if you're listening to them, you're going to get stuck on a lot of it. I mean, well, you hate to do these things, but then you're still, and you hate to see them get hooked.
That don't seem to be a remedy, does it?
No.
You can't help the little men.
That's true.
You couldn't help me. That was the thing I did out here. I'd do one thing right and six things wrong.
Well, I guess we all do.
Yeah.
For that part. But then,
Debbie?
I don't know.
I hadn't figured it out. You said $1.98?
Debbie?
Yes. Listen here, see, it's right. Now, listen here, it's right for me. No. That was $1.98. You only got 5 pounds, and five pounds is $1.90. And then there's 8 cent tax. You just make it up $1.98.
Oh Lord, I don't write you a check for that.
I'd rather you would.
Okay.
Because see, that goes to the company. That don't go to me.
$1.98.
Uh huh.
I was. That's some check.
And I'll turn it in Monday. See, they'll be in there Monday. How are you doing?
This is Miller.
Miller. Glad to know you, man.
And we were out here at the same time. He's over there where Eddie is. And Eddie, you couldn't count the times he'd come over here and push me off on that little sports tractor.
Yeah, me and that little Ford tractor, we got along good, though, didn't we?
Yeah, Errol Aniston.
They're good, that old tractor. They should. They didn't. They quit, you know, some bit ago making that ADN deal.
Yeah.
I'd love to have one of them now if I could find one that wouldn't cost me a fortune.
Well, you can't even find an old kerosene stove that won't cost you a fortune.
I know that.
That old thing costs $7, you know, and it burns up more oil in a day than it's good enough for it in a month. I don't know what it does with all that oil.
You was going to come down there and buy a stove from me, and you never did come back.
Well, I know it. I don't do anything.
See, you came in, you looked at him, you were going to come back and buy one, but didn't.
Well,
I hate to just pick one up and bring it on out and put it up.
Yeah,
they
probably do that.
Only way they'll ever do it.
He kept saying, I wish Aaron would do that.
Yeah. Well, if he'd have just told me that, I'd have brought it up.
Well, you got to make a decision, you see.
Yeah, I know it. No, it is a problem, I tell you.
Let me tell you, now one of my friends over here had a good stove, but seemingly it went to pieces. Do they just collapse all at once sometimes?
Well, now they burn out, and this type of thing in there, something will burn out in there.
Yeah, well, anyhow, they bought it from Sears, no tell how many years ago. I was over there, and I was sitting down there, wasn't paying attention. She said, if you would just turn your head around, you'll see something else. I turned my head around, and there was a brand new, huge, big kerosene heater. Sears. Now, why do they all have to buy from Sears?
Well, one thing, to get it on credit, it's not talking about nobody or against nobody, see. They can buy it on credit. It doesn't cost them too much down normally. Now, Sears and Roebuck eat them up on finance charges. But still, they only have to pay so much a month, see, and they can do that, and they can get it. Which is a big help in a lot of cases. It's a big help because if you had to wait to get cash, why, a lot of people would never get one.
And they don't investigate you,
No, normally if you can get credit anywhere, you can get it at Sears. Normally you can.
Hmm. And they don't deliver for nothing either.
No. And they charge you at 1.5%, which is actually 18%, to charge you interest on that stuff.
18%? Yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm. That's what I figured out, 18%.
Mm-hmm.
And they rather charge to you, see, than they would to pay cash. But they make money off finance charges. And that's the reason for it.
You know, I guess I remember that all the rest of the time. I was down here at the store, and you see a truck pulled up. There wasn't nowhere. F.W. Wood, somebody like that lived. That bread was out there, and he just pulled him up there. And I looked at the thing, and it was a huge refrigerator. Oh, it was huge. Fine as the house. You see, right across the street there. But, oh, loving good. They love them good. Just so them coming and going.
Uh-huh.
And of course, it all.
Now, Fred's not going to do it, though. If he can buy a nickel cheap or somewhere else, he ain't going to buy that. You know that. You know Fred that well.
Yeah.
I was over one day, and I'll have to tell this on Fred. I guess I shouldn't. But I couldn't keep him laughing at him, and it cost him money, and I hated to see that, and I didn't want this to happen, of course. But he had that Plymouth, you know. It wouldn't start one more. So he called me. I went over and he had to jack it up and get down the dirt and crawl under it and all this type of thing, see, to get to the starter. And the starter sounded a little bit bad on what it was. But I finally got it off and got in there to it, found what it was, sure. So then he wouldn't let me put him on a new one. He said he could buy one in town a little bit cheaper.
Yes. Yes.
So anyway, I had to buckle it back up, get out from under it and leave it. Went on, so he got, I guess, one of the niggas that worked there for him. Somebody. Was going to push him off and start it. And of course, it's automatic transmission, and it's, you know, and everything, so he had to get up quite a bit of speed before he could do it. And he finally got it up about 50, 60 miles an hour, and then jerked it down in gear, cranked it, instead of just putting it in drive and leave. When he did, he busted his transmission wide open. And that transmission cost him a little over $235, and then the solenoid wouldn't have cost him but $8 or $9 to start with, see. And he came over crying to me about it. Well, I hated it because he busted his transmission. I wouldn't have had him done that for none in the world before that goes. But trying to save, maybe.
Yes,
he
yes.
Couldn't have saved on an $8 or $9 item. He couldn't have saved more than
50-75 cents. You know, when you were over here, people were still saving on stuff like that. Well, they quit that. They don't do that now much, do they?
I don't know.
Well, I do. I don't. I remember Buster used to try to save me money. And it was always costly to me. But I had to take it back over there every week. And I would tell you, you knew Mr. Gallagher.
Yeah.
Well.
I did a lot of work for him.
Well, I want you to tell me a story. I'm just collecting. He collected. That's the point of it. Over there at that store, and so he come out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear all sorts of stories, you know, if you keep your head down about how you collected. Well, this old John Turner, he's a colored fellow, lives over past Citrus somewhere. I don't know the geography of Citrus, so I don't know where anybody lives. Well,
man,
kind of said, this fella was, Joe, come on in.
He's trying to hurry me up. He's got to get home. I promised him while I go to him.
We're talking about Mr. Garrigan.
Okay,
Joe. He had somebody out with him, and they went out there in the woods, and this colored fella was just laying up in bed there. He'd had a night out, you know. And, had his clothes over there on the rocking chair, and Mr. Gallagher kind of looked around. He saw the other man had a brand new pair of shoes. And there was a brand new pair of breeches. shoes and these bridges and call it quits.
Mm-hmm.
Now you tell me one. I never did get close to Mr. Gagg enough where he'd talk to me.
He's a fine old fella. I thought the world of him. He is real high tempered now.
Yeah.
But he's a fine old fella.
Yeah.
I did a lot of work for him, and I never worked for a better man.
Yeah.
Now he's high tempered.
Yeah.
And if something don't suit him, he's got plenty of money. He don't have to. You know what I'm talking about. He don't have to fix nothing if he don't want to. He got plenty of money.
Yeah.
Now, I saw him, or he told me about it. I didn't see him do it. But he called me one day to come over to his house. Had lawnmower trouble. And I went over, and that lawnmower was burned up. I mean, just literally burned up. I said, well, what happened to it? All the wires burned off of it, and everything else he's burned off. I said, what happened to it? It had to catch on fire. He said, it wouldn't start. I pulled gas on it and set it on fire. He said, can you fix it? Is it worth fixing? I said, no.
Not now.
I said, no. I said, maybe I could have if you left it alone. But I said, now I can't fix it. He said, well, it's all right. Turned around and told his wife to go to town and buy a new one. Turned around and paid me for a service trip. It's all right. I mean, he had plenty of money. It didn't worry him a bit in the world. See?
He just made him mad.
He flew off high.
You know, you couldn't give me one of them little old gasoline motors on those things. Well, hell, I can't start keep a tractor motor going. Must last on them little old things. Oh, no. I couldn't fight. Last time I saw Mr. Garriga, he was driving off the River Six Road down to the Everton, on the Everton Hot Dog. And he was in that brand new Gatling. That's the last time I saw him. I've seen him in all sorts of places, but I never did get, you know, close enough to talk to him. I used to see him in Sunday school, and I wished old LK would keep his mouth shut and let Mr. Garrett talk a little bit, because I'd heard him talk down there.
He's a fine fellow. I tell you another thing now that he told me one time, guy, that this a lot of people, you know, would laugh at. He told me that he was out working one morning. You know, he worked just like he didn't have a nickel. You know.
So did she.
Oh, yeah. They both worked all the time in the fields and everywhere, you know, just like it was real poor people. But he was out working a grove when somebody come by and told him that they were selling, auctioning off a grove over there someplace. See? And he'd been wanting it, but he didn't know it was coming up. It was going to auction it off that day. So they came out and told him, he just quit to go out over there. So Vernon, he bid for it and got it. He bought the grove. Well, there he was. Of course, you had to pay cash for it. You bid something in an auction deal. And he said he had just come from there, and he hadn't made no arrangements or nothing, period on. And so anyway, he said he went up there and give him a binder or something, whatever they have to do at an auction, whatever it was to hold. Anyway, he had to be back at noon. He had to pay cash for it. So he tore out the game. And said he walked in the bank over there, and he told him he wanted to see the president of the bank. And he said the people, they looked at him kind of funny, you know, like somebody coming in dressed that way, just work clothes on, this type of thing, wanting to go in and see the president of the bank. So, well, anyway, they showed him where his office was.
Well, at that time, you could still get in the
yeah.
Can't get in.
Anyway, he said he walked in there and said he told the man who he was. And he said, I want $250,000 and I've got to have my done. Well, anybody say that is an impossibility, you know. That'd be a foolish thing to go in and ask anybody to do, especially to tell them you got to have it full done.
$250,000.
Uh-huh. And he said that man sat there and he laughed and just hollered and laughed. He said, you must be some kind of a nut. You're crazy. Coming in and asking a man to loan you $250,000 and you've got to have it pulled down.
And he's never seen him before.
Never seen him before. So said he told him, he said, well, said, the reason I come here, said, this is the first bank I come to. And said, I was in a hurry, I've got to have it done. And he said, now, he told him, he said, if you want to, said, station trip, said, he told him what other bank to call over. You can call him if you want to. He said, I own control and interest in it. He said, I own all this next block next to you here. And he said, over here in one of the residential sections over there, he said, I've got about three blocks of houses over there. And told him where they were. He said, I already own four groves. Told him where they were. He said, that man shut up laughing right now. See, turned around and said, pick up a phone call somebody. Turned around and sat down and wrote him out a check, $250,000, handed to him. Said he turned around and walked out. Of course, he had plenty of security, but he just didn't have it with him, you know, where he could write a check on.
You know, this Baltonite family over there on Cross Creek Road, they still fish. And old George Baltonite. In the old days, I've heard Mrs. Mary talk to us. She's one of her telephones. She said he went up to the Cadillac place.
Barefoot.
Barefoot and cold and had on an old
Yeah, nobody hardly ever paid cash, you know.
No.
But you wouldn't today. Hardly going to buy a new car, but you can hear that once in a while.
Yeah. Well, you've got good help.
Yeah, I've got some good help now.
Is Debbie, did I introduce him?
Yes, yeah, you did
yeah.
Now.
Yeah. That's his son Joe behind him.
Yeah. You live out here in this section, living out here with him?
I hired both of them. I just needed some high-class labor, and I just paying high
well,
prices.
Well, now that's down to. That's
the
very thing.
I wouldn't say I'm getting any more of the money for a
dollar. Oh, well, you gotta be.
They eat so much.
Oh, I see.
You never know. They get meal time all the time.
Don't let him embarrass you. I'm just saying. Well, thank you very much. It's nice seeing you, folks.
Nice seeing you. And you'll fill up the.
It's full.
A trailer? Oh.
Yeah, it
flies
about 10 gallons.
I told Joe to go down there and check it.
Yeah, Miss Bender some, but she's empty.
I just put in some for her.
Good.
She just got home from the hospital. She doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
bye,
nice.
Aaron.
Do right around 300 or 400, and the end of this short visit with Aaron, with Rick and Debbie, this Saturday afternoon, maybe between 1 and 2 o'clock, this 9th of December 72, Aaron brought kerosene with his son Joe. Channel 2 right around 300 or 400, and the end of this short visit with Aaron, with Rick and Debbie, this Saturday afternoon around 2 o'clock, 9th of December 72.